Have you ever wondered why some discovery calls effortlessly turn into loyal clients while others fizzle out? What's the secret to making every call a stepping stone to success? Well, stick around because my guest is sharing all about it. Welcome back to Marketing Strategy Academy podcast, where we help female entrepreneurs go from marketing overwhelm to an easy, streamlined strategy and system that includes Pinterest and repurposing content to grow their businesses when they have very little time. I'm your host, Jen Vasquez. Let's jump right into it. Today, I am so excited to be chatting with Amy Posner. Amy is a seasoned entrepreneur and business coach who helps digital creative freelancers build breakthrough businesses. Welcome, Amy. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thanks, Jen. I'm delighted to be here. Really excited.
I always love to start with the question to find out a little bit about how you got to what you're doing today. So tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
Sure. Well, it's funny. I grew up in a family business and I was the one who never wanted to be in business. I was going to be the creative, you know, it's like, I didn't need to do that. And so I went off, did my thing. And sometimes at some point in my 20s, I got a job, just this random job in New York City to, you know, put food on the table. And I kept having marketing ideas for this guy I was working for. And I was like, what about if we did this? And what if you did that? And he really liked my ideas and eventually offered me to become a partner in his business at this very low buy-in. And I had no interest, but I was like, I didn't have no interest, but it wasn't like the thing I wanted to choose, but it seemed like it was interesting and I was enjoying it. So I bought in. I've been in business ever since. It's been 30 years. I've owned 6 different businesses. I loved it. It turned out it's really creative. And the thing I loved was you could sort of make stuff up, right? It's like, oh, we need more clients. Well, let me make up a thing and figure it out and then refine it. And I thought that was really fun. I know it makes me a total nerd, but like I've built a career.
I love it too. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? It's fun.
I'm just going to dive right into it because I know everyone who saw Discovery Call on the title is going to want to dive right into it. What is the biggest misconception that people have about Discovery Calls?
It'll really surprise you, I think. The biggest misconception is people think they're selling. You're not. The Discovery Call is not, I intentionally don't call it a sales call. Because it's not about selling. I think selling is the thing that makes people really uptight because we think selling is about convincing somebody to do something that they may or may not want to do. And it's not about that. The discovery call is really about fit. It's simply about, I've got something I offer. You've got something you need. We're just going to get together and see if it's a fit. Like, do I get you? Am I the right person to work with? Do I have the expertise you need? And there's a process for taking people through that that's really simple. And the other thing that I see is that people perceive that the person they're talking to is an adversary, right? It's like, we're not equals. It's like, you're the boss, if you will. I'm doing air quotes here, and you get to decide. And so it's almost like it's performative. Like I'm showing up like it's a job interview. It's not a job interview. It's two business professionals determining if they're going to work together, if they've got a fit. And so I think the biggest misconception is that you're there to convince somebody of something, and you're not. You're simply there to have a conversation.
That would take so much stress off people who have, to this point, tried to avoid them. And I value discovery calls because for me, they help to weed out people that are not my ideal client. And yet I'm still lending some really good information to that person, helping them out. I've had a discovery call. We decided not to work together, but they referred 2 clients to me. So it is, you're right. It is not adversarial. And it is not like pick and choosing kind of what's going on. It's really to see if it's a good fit for both people.
100%. And I've always been a big fan of this idea of delivering value before money changes hands, right? Like, so you show up to the call, it's sort of a little bit of an expert consult. Like, don't think of it as, you know, like you're being tested or interviewed. It's more like you're going to show up and like, they've got a problem. You've got a solution. So let's talk a little bit about that solution and how I would implement it for you. And there's like a thing too, there's a connect when you, as the prospective client, get that I get you, right? Like,
Yeah.
Like that's how we find fit. It's like, do I understand your business? And this is another thing, like for your audience, like they need to be asking themselves, is this a problem I want to solve? Is this a project I want to take on? Right. Rather than the ones showing up like, you know, will you hire me? And am I good enough for you?
Yes. It's like,
is this a problem I want to solve? And is this a person I want to, you know, depending on like the length of your engagement, is it someone I want to spend a day with or a week with or a month working on their project? Maybe, maybe not.
Yes, absolutely. So let's dive in just a little bit deeper on that. How do you typically structure your discovery calls to make sure that you cover sort of everything without overwhelming that potential client or feeling like you're begging?
Yeah. And that's a really good one. The feeling like you're begging, because you're really like, you do not want to go hat in hand. You just don't, you know, you want to show up like sort of standing tall in your boots, like, you know, not like a diva, but like a confident, you know,
yes.
this is who I am. I have a 7-step roadmap, and I can offer it to your audience. It's a PDF, and I have people who literally like have been making sales calls for years or discovery calls. And they're like, I have this thing out on my desk. I follow the 7 steps. I've been doing it for years. So it's really funny, because the first step is taking control of the conversation and the little segue language. Cause you know how you get on a call and it's like, if you don't have an agenda, someone's going to run the call. And I want it to be you, the service provider, but you get there and sometimes you're like, I don't know, like we're waiting for someone to show up. And then like, now we're starting. And there's always small talk, right? Like the weather, whatever you're talking about, it's really, really important that you're the one who segues off of that. So like, you know, Jen, great, we're chatting. And I was like, okay, listen, I want to respect your time. So here's what I'd like to do today, if that's okay for you, if okay with you. And it's a really gracious way to just take back the conversation and now say like, you know, I've got some questions for you. I want to, you know, I'm sure you've got some for me. So let me just start. And this is where, you know, I'm kind of running you down the thing now, but this is where the key question, the first really key question is, you want to know, and this is how you demonstrate your expertise. You kind of want to unpack why you're there, right? Like,
yes. Why did they want to book a call with you? Yes. Yes.
Right. Right. So so, hey, Jim, like, what's the genesis of the call? Why are we here? What's going on in your business that you're looking to do X, you know, right now? And here's the fascinating thing to me, that one question opens doors that will never be open to you again. Even if you land this person as a client, people will tell you like their business origin story and like why they are doing what they're doing and how they got here. And like, people will really go deep.
And what they're struggling with, because oftentimes when you know what they're struggling with, that's how you can provide a transformation for them. If you don't know what they're struggling with, sometimes you can't help.
Right. And then it's just a project, right? It's not like trying to solve their problem. Then it becomes more transactional. And here, what we're trying to do is like have a little bit of a consult. I don't want to just say to you like, yes, you know, you can buy X and it costs Y and like, let's sign the thing. I mean, sometimes that's appropriate, right? Sometimes that's exactly what
you
needed,
follow the, yeah, you did, depends on the person on the other end of the call, but yes.
Right. And how much they're revealing to you when you ask those questions. And so really that's what it is. It's just like, you're like, you know, on a date having coffee or something, you ask questions. So, you know, tell me a little bit more about that. And like, you're really just trying to get to know them, but them / their business, right? Right. Because you're not asking the personal questions you might be asking, but you're asking, you know, you are asking probing questions about their business. And that's how they start to feel seen by you. And that's how you get to demonstrate your expertise. Because you talk about, well, hey, we could solve it this way, or, you know, I've done this kind of thing before. And suddenly like they're leaning in like, ooh, you get me.
Yes.
Like, relief, like, oh, there might be a solution in my future. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that kind of thing.
And then how would you, because I have had this happen a lot. I run a Pinterest management type of business. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people know because they've heard from everyone else that they need Pinterest, but they don't really know like how it helps or something. So how do you read between the lines when a client might not know exactly what they need or why they need you?
It's such a great question, because I bet, and I'd love to know your experience. I find more often than not, people don't really know what they need. right? They like they've heard almost they've heard never about something. Right? Right? I mean, it's like surprisingly, right? It's like people show up.
You're on a call. Yeah, it's a surprise. Yes.
Right. And it's like, and it's so funny because as a service provider, I think like in the early part of your career, you don't want to ask a lot of questions because you feel like, oh, I'm supposed to know that. Right. And like, if I ask questions, I look like I'm not knowledgeable. And later on, you realize like you have to ask me every question, including the most basic questions. And that's how you really, you know, sort of unpack what they need. But they often come in and they don't know. But they have an idea because, you know, they're smart, they're marketers, they're moving around in the world and they're seeing things in the wild and they're like, that could work for me. Or someone's told them, hey, you ought to have an X, right? And so they call the X provider and now they're in conversation with you. But consider what they're always looking for is an outcome, right? No one's looking for the service you provide in itself. They're looking for it for a reason, right? Usually like because they're growing or changing or scaling or, you know, something is happening in their business. And so that's kind of where you want to dig around. Like, so, and that's why I asked that, like, what's the genesis of this call? Like, why are we talking now? Oh, well, we need more leads, you know, or we need better visuals. We need, you know, we've outgrown our brand. Okay. And that doesn't mean they're not the brand expert. They don't know how to solve that brand problem. That's why they're in conversation with you, but they don't want to show up saying, well, I don't know anything, but I look stupid. Or my site doesn't look good. Sometimes they will, but more so really, I feel like our job is to then unpack a little bit. So like, what outcome are you looking for? Like, what would be an ideal outcome of this project for you? Or what, you know, what would be a great result? And then you can sort of backtrack from there, reverse engineer what you could create that could get them the result they want. And it's funny because I think often too, we think like we're doing them a service if we say yes and, oh yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And that's great if you can do it, but it's greater if you can figure out if it's what you should be doing.
Yeah. Or if it's really what they need. Sometimes people think they know what they need and they actually need something different. Yeah. What indicators do you tend to look for to gauge if a potential client is a good fit for your services? Are there any indicators that you kind of look for or should look for?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I go with gut a lot and I can often tell. It's like, and because for me, it's a lot like, like I like you, I want to help your business. Then it's a question of, do I have the expertise to do that? But if I have a good feeling about it, that's my first, you know, sort of green light, if you will. But beyond that, I mean, so there's a bunch of things. There's budget, there's timing, there's the expertise match too, right? Because I may be talking like in my business. So I was a professional copywriter as a service provider. And there are copywriters that sell like an item for $1,500 and there are people that sell the same item for $15,000, right? And they're bought by different clients. And so like, you have to sort of know who are you dealing with and what, you know, what are their budget parameters and timing. So I ask those questions because I need to know if I'm getting the feeling that like they have a problem I can solve and I could genuinely like deliver value to them and, you know, all of the things feel right, then I'll move right to budget. And it's a good thing to be bringing up because, you know, that's the, like, people hate that question, right? I mean.
And also I feel like oftentimes in the beginning of a conversation, sometimes the client is, or potential client is so worried about budget that it's not even that great of a conversation until you kind of get that out of the way sometimes.
100%. And, you know, it's so funny, you know, because I've been that client. You know, where you're like, I don't want to waste your time or my time. Yes. Just tell me the price. Yeah. And sometimes it's a really good thing. So I had someone who was proposing a project to me and I want to know the price because I had a feeling I couldn't afford it. And I didn't want him to like waste the time putting the thing together. And I kept asking like, can you give me a ballpark? And he's like, would you just give me 45 minutes and let me explain this to you? And I'm like, okay, but would you just tell me the price? You know,
and you're like,
but I agreed. And we got on the call and the meeting and he had prepared a slide deck and he had done a lot of research on my business. And I have to tell you, Jen, there was a point and I literally felt it in the call where I flipped from, you know, that arms across the chest, what is this going to cost me, to damn, I hope I can afford
this.
And like, I saw what he did. What he wanted to do was show me the whole thing. He didn't want me making a decision based on price. And he was 100% right. But so basically what he did was he demonstrated his expertise and he showed me how he could solve my problem. And it no longer became a question of, is this the right vendor? it became a question of, this is the thing I want. How can I afford it? So I tell that story by way of saying, like, the price is the price. And sometimes the price is the price. And like, you have a budget that doesn't bend. And, you know, I'm fine with that. I'm fine. Like, if a client really insists on knowing the price, let's talk price. If that's your,
Don't avoid it. I feel like avoiding it is the worst.
It is. And you know what I do? I use a ballpark, and I recommend that. It's so like, and before you get on a call, you should have a sense of what the project is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that you can say.
Yeah, no. When they schedule a call, one of the questions in my call is, this is about the budget, around the budget for Pinterest management. Is this in your budget? And I have a yes and a yes. No and a maybe. And so if there's a no, I'll launch right into their problem and their pricing and all that kind of stuff first, because I want to get that out of the way. I already know that they feel like it may not be, but they still set the call. Most people will not schedule a call if they're filling that out. I find having a ballpark as really helpful to weeding out people who can't afford you and aren't even going to consider it, to not like waste your time.
Yeah, I love that you do that, because it's fair for everyone, right? I mean, they need to know if it's like, you know, if it's $3,000 or $10,000, right? Oh, I can spend $3,000, I can't spend $10,000. Let's not even bother, right? That kind of a thing. I think I think this is the thing. It's like, they're not a fit, and that's okay, right? Everyone isn't a fit. And that's totally what we're sort of qualifying for. And I think that's the thing I want people to understand. It's like, it's not personal. Like, there are going to be way more people always that say no than say yes. And like, that's part of business. Those are your metrics, right? You have to talk to 5 people to get 1 to say yes. So you have to love the 4 who say no, because like, without them, you don't get the yes, right? I mean, I know it sounds corny and cliche, but.
And it's practice doing a discovery call. For anyone that says no, it's your practice in doing it well and doing it better every time.
100%. And you have to, I mean, you got to be bad at something to get good at it. And, right. So you've got to just jump in the ring. Back to this ballpark thing, though, just to finish that, I like to give a range. So I'll say something like, you know, last time I did one of these, or these typically come in at, if I haven't done one before, because now I'm not saying that I have, but I'm sort of implying that I have experience.
Yes.
You know, they usually come in between, like, you know, sort of 5,000 and 7,500. I know that's a pretty big range, but does that like sound like about what you were expecting? And then the hardest thing, and you know this, is like, you have to zip it. You just have to, you can't, it's so tempting to like start talking and qualifying. You just have to let them respond, like, yes or no, it's in my budget or it isn't. Silence is, they're uncomfortable. And in this case, it's like, you just have to go like, okay, I'm going to be uncomfortable. And then you just wait. You know, and I also have a thing, like, when something is pretty expensive, I'll say, you know, last time I did one, it came in around $18,000. Like, is that about what you expected? Or like, am I going to have to send smelling salts with the proposal? You know, like, basically what I'm saying is, this price going to make you pass out.
Yes.
Like, I'm acknowledging, hey, this is a lot of money, but, you know, and it may or may not be for you. And I think that little bit of levity, they're like, oh yeah, you know, it gives them permission to say, oh my gosh, you know, I thought it was going to be like 20% of that, like, get me off this call now. Or to go, oh yeah, all right, that's about in our budget. And now you know that, you know, where you stand.
Yes. And also, I will also say, if you have a number of different services, this is the point when you're going to be downselling potentially to something else, if it is going to be a good fit for them and it can help them achieve a goal, maybe not their biggest goal, but to get a step closer to being able to afford you at some point.
Yeah. And that's doing them a service, because, you know, they can ideally get the job done in, you know, in a way that they can afford. And that's different for everyone. And, you know, the thing is, it'll be different for the service provider too, because like, what you're charging now, you know, when, by the time they can afford you, maybe they won't be able to afford you again, because, you know, you've got that much more experience.
Yeah. What is your approach when a potential client on a discovery call has an objection or a reservation during the call? Is there any sort of approach that you would recommend?
You know, I think of those as like just discussion points. I mean, I would expect them to have some objections or questions, or, you know, just like pushing back on how something works because they don't understand it. And so I just see those as discussion points, really. Like, unless there's some like really hard objection, like that I think is unreasonable or doesn't make sense. Like, I might explain it to them in the context of my work, or it might be a deal breaker, you know, it might be like, we're not connecting here. This is not, it's just not a fit.
Yeah. And it's okay. I think that's like the bottom line of what I'm hearing from you also, is it's okay. That's what the calls are for.
100% what they're for. And what you said earlier about like having the form where you vet people, it's good to have a little intel on the person before you go in.
Yeah.
So you know you know what you're dealing with, and you already know which pieces you're looking for, right? Because and you have it, so because you have a sense, like you said, well, they're booking the call and they're a maybe, so that means they need to understand how this works, perhaps, right? And so
exactly,
I think you have the typical objections that you'd like. If you practice these calls, you will get to know because the same things come up over and over. I think the thing is to just not see that as an obstacle, to see that as like natural curiosity and trying to understand.
Conversation.
Like, right. How do you work? Who are you? How do I work with you? It's an inquiry. It's not an objection per se. An objection is like, sounds like something's wrong, right?
Yeah.
I just like to.
What steps do you take immediately after a discovery call to sort of ensure that that potential client remembers you and feels valued?
Great,
and potentially can refer you to someone else?
Yes. I like to end these calls. So usually if we think there's a fit, right, and we're going to move forward, there's usually something now that's going to happen. There's a next step. And so I like to talk about that before we get off. Like, I'd like to have a next call book, you know, because what's going to happen? Like, in my case, it'll be like, you're going to send me your messaging guide, and I'm going to look that over, and I'm going to send you a thing I did for X client so you can see how that turned out. And then how about if we reconvene in a week? Does that sound good? Okay, that would be X date. And I'll book it there. It's tedious, but now I've got a call on the books with them. And then what I'll say to them is, and I'll be very specific, like I'll be like, well, you know, it's 10 o'clock my time. I'm going to be free at about 2 o'clock. I'm going to send you an email with the XYZ that I promised, a link for that meeting on the 7th and blah, blah, XYZ, whatever I've promised. And then I do it at 2 o'clock or when ideally I would do it right after the call because I want people to feel really well taken care of and like show them that I'm really interested and I want to win their business. But I just do that and I'm very efficient about it and I'm very reliable. And I'm trying to demonstrate that if you work with me, you can count on me, right? I do what I say I'm going to do. I'm fast, I'm efficient, I care about you. And then in that follow-up, this is the key piece, is to tell them why you're excited about working with them or why you're excited about the project. Oh, Jen, I'm so excited that you're like actually, you know, redoing your branding. And I can see that, you know, we could come in and like really achieve X result, the thing that you're really doing this for. Here's the thing I promised. See you on the 7th. That's all.
Yeah. And I will also say too, that I think it's really important on a discovery call, if you do actually want to work with them, but they're going to think about it because some people do want to get off and have a night's sleep on it and, or talk to somebody about it. Like that's totally normal. We're not trying to avoid their processing because you don't want them to buy and then feel remorse, right? So I always say at the end of a discovery call, look, I totally get that you want to take some time and think about it. I think that's a smart business decision. One thing I just want to let you know is I would really love to work with you. And here's what I think I can do for your company. Because I find just that little bit gives them a little bit more confidence. Like, tell them you want to work with them if you want to work with them. Don't just let them get off call to think about it. And then I'll follow up with an email that said, you know, I really enjoyed our conversation. I love learning XYZ, a couple of things that happened during the conversation. And once again, I just want to say, I'm really excited at the opportunity to work with you. And here's the proposal. Like, make sure that you're telling them that you're excited. Don't, you know, try to keep cool and calm. Like, tell them if you're excited.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much because, like, think about it. It's like, think about anybody that you're going to hire. It's like, how do you feel if they're sort of like, well, you know, here's the thing, and everything's very cool and, you know, aloof, or like, oh my God, Jen, I love what you're doing in your business. And I really want to help, like, I want to help achieve this outcome. It's like, it's going to make you as the, you know, as the decider feel really good about this person and not good about them in a phony way, good about them because they really care. And the thing is, it's like for us, most of us, we're solopreneurs or we're really little, you know, little businesses. This is our baby.
Yeah.
Right. If I'm inviting you in, I'm inviting you in to deal with like one of the most important things in my entire life. It's like, yeah, it's going to go a really long way to have you say, I love what you're doing here and I'm excited and I get you. Cause that's, I mean, as solos, that's what we're looking for, right? Not everyone gets us, but for the people who do, it's like, come on in. It's like, that's who we want to work with too. So like be, exactly. You know, I know authenticity is also really overused, but like be you. That's,
it,
I mean,
people but it's are hiring so true.
You. Yes. It is so true.
And then I want to wrap this sort of discovery conversation up with what I think is really important and almost no one does it. What is your system for following up with people who maybe it wasn't a good yes at this point? Like, I find that most people don't ever follow up. And I am really not so great at following up either. But I suspect that we should have some kind of a system that helps us to check back in 2 or 3 months, because a business can change and then they can maybe afford you if that was the only reason why they weren't going to work with you.
Oh, I'm so big on this. I'm so glad you brought it up, because it's really important, because it's also, they may just not be ready at that time, right? Budget-wise. It may also be, I mean, you run into situations where people already have a provider. They're interested in maybe a second provider or a backup person, or when that person suddenly isn't available for whatever reason or isn't working out anymore. And I've had clients, you know, who've come to me 18 months later, 2 years later, because I've kept in touch. But what I really recommend, and this is a whole other conversation, so we won't go there, is an email list. I am such a big advocate of email lists. It's such an opportunity to just be in touch with people and, like, you know, again, another cliche word, but to nurture them and be in touch with them over time as they need you, you have top of mind consciousness for them. Because, you know, how often does, like, something land in your inbox and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I might work with that person. But, like, are you going to bother to, like, take their name and put it in a spreadsheet? No. So when you need that person, you're like, who is that? And something came in my, but if they've been emailing me every week or every other week, it's like, oh, right. I'm just waiting until I hire them. Right. And so, yes. So I say, if you're not going to do an email list, find a reason to be in touch quarterly. Put it on your calendar, literally. Like, you know, if this is April, put it on your calendar for 3 months out. You know, you got May, June, July, contact them in July. And, you know, in marketing, we say you always have a right to get in touch if you have, quote, new news. Invent new news, a new offer that you have, a new thing that's happening in your business, a new case study you want to share, a new result for a client. You just want to reach out. Hey, how's business going? Here's something that's going on. But I have a great story about that, about someone who came back 18 months later and ended up being, like, a close to six-figure client.
Wow.
Just because I kept in touch with them. And it was only sporadically. It was only once every quarter or so. But 18 months later, they were ready. And we worked together for almost 2 years to the tune of, like, 70, 80 grand over that time.
Yes. And I feel like follow-ups also give them an understanding that you, like, don't quit. Like, that you are gonna, if you work together, you're gonna do what you say, because you are consistently following up. Like, it gives us sort of a peace of mind to people as well.
Oh, so much. I mean, you're still there. You're still cooking. You're still doing what you do. You still care. You're still available. It's reassuring. It's like, oh yeah, that person's the real deal. And Jen, it's shocking. So many people are flaky. It's like, just don't be a flake, and you're like, you'd be 80% ahead of the rest of the field. Like, it's shocking. It's just really shocking.
It's insane. I agree. Okay. Well, as we're wrapping up here, what are 3 things that have helped you to grow your business? Could be tools, could be advice, really anything. But what are 3 things that you think really help you to grow your business?
I think the main thing is probably having what I call a client getting system. Like, having some way to have a steady flow of leads in your business, because that puts you in control, right? It gives you choice. I would say the other is being persistent and kind of bold, not worrying about no's and not worrying about the obstacles, just, like, sorting it out. And the final thing is having a coach. You know, I resisted having a coach for so long. I just didn't want to spend the money. I didn't get it. You know, all the things. Once I started, I've never stopped. It's like, I mean, it's so good to have somebody who can, like, see what you can't see. It's just brilliant.
I agree. I feel like you can get growth on your own, but working with a business coach that really takes in you and your business and how you want to work and what's important to you, all your values, all of that package, it helps you to elevate and escalate your growth that you really couldn't do on your own.
100%. You know, it's just, you cannot see your own stuff. It is the weirdest thing. I know people describe it as, like, you're, like, in the bottle, so you can't see the label. You just can't. And I've been trying to crack this code for, like, decades. You cannot do your own stuff. You can't see your own stuff. You just can't. I don't know why, but you can't. So there you go.
I know. Well, gosh, Amy, thank you so much for your valuable advice and your time today. And if anyone out there watching or listening found some ideas and some tips and things that you can implement in your business, we'd love for you to leave a review. And as always, go out there and do something good for your business, like downloading a freebie that Amy's going to be offering. Amy, by the way, what is that offer? Tell us what you're giving to our audience for free.
Yeah, I have a PDF, and it's 7 steps of a discovery call. And it shows you, like, which things you absolutely must cover, but it also gives you a little bit of the why. So it's just a nice little thing you can have there to feel confident.
So good. And that's what I want you to do. Go out there, put it on your calendar, download this PDF, implement it into your business. I know that discovery calls will transform your business. And I hope you at least try them if you haven't tried them in the past. Have a great day.